Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Covers the Ravens for USA Today, the Ravens Wire, friend of the show. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back, as we do every Tuesday, Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, what is happening? First of all, how are you feeling today?
Feeling all right, guys. It's crazy. The season isn't over yet. Super Bowl's in a couple of days, and we already have a couple of trade pieces with Myles Garrett's request and Cooper Kupp saying the Rams want to trade him. So the NFL never sleeps, even when there's still a game to be played.
And by the way, just reading the interweb, Cooper Kupp linked to the Ravens, as fate would have it. But got to start with Justin Tucker. Allegations have been plentiful and coming fast and furious. We know his 100% absolute denial. Ravens aware of said situation. And as we have asked with our audience, and we'll ask you, he ever playing for Baltimore again? Does that purple number 9 ever run out on M&T Bank Stadium?
Yeah, it's a tough question, especially because the NFL will do their due diligence. I know Roger Goodell spoke on it yesterday, and obviously the allegations in the articles that have come out, very serious for Justin Tucker. And for Baltimore, obviously they've taken a stance on this kind of stuff, where it's a zero-tolerance policy. I know they've kind of clarified a little bit, saying it's on a case-to-case basis or whatnot, but obviously, we don't know yet if it's all true or not. You know, that's not something that I can tell you. So I think, to me, the Ravens are going to have to make a decision of if it kind of stays as it is right now and it just stays allegations. Do they want to kind of have the situation where they keep him on the roster and then deal with some of the backlash that will come with that? Or do they want to just get rid of him? We know Tucker struggled a bit last season, and the Ravens, if they release him with a post-June 1 designation, they would save around $4 million in cap space, which isn't necessarily a small amount. It's not huge. But, you know, for Tucker in this whole situation, I don't see how it's going to go away anytime soon, especially because we are getting new allegations that are coming out. And John Harbaugh took a stance on Deshaun Watson when he was asked about him and kind of went down that rabbit hole. And now some of the allegations here, you know, it's difficult, but the Ravens will have a decision to make, and I can't tell you for certain right now if I put on the uniform or not again, but whatever decision they do make, there's going to be some sort of backlash from it.
Now, Kevin, could you just kind of enlighten us? Because I didn't hear the comments of Roger Goodell. What did he say about Justin Tucker?
He ended up saying that he was surprised. He said he was surprised by the allegations. They're going to do their due diligence, look into it, obviously. And that's what they're going to have to do, because there's all this stuff about the statute of limitations, and now I believe there are 9 different allegations spanning 2 or 3 different articles that have been put out over the last week or so. So Goodell mainly said he was surprised by it, but, you know, with these NFL investigations, sometimes they turn up stuff, sometimes they don't, and, you know, we don't know how deep this thing goes. So I'm going to be interested to see over the course of, you know, the next couple of weeks, months, however long it is, what it does turn up. Because if it doesn't, then it is in the Ravens' hands to say Do they suspend him? Do they take action? Does the NFL themselves take action after their investigation? So there's a lot still to unpack with this for sure.
All right, Kevin, were you shocked that Chris Hewitt was let go and I guess Chuck Pagano coming in to replace him?
The Pagano thing was kind of out of left field, and I guess John Harbaugh and Chuck Pagano had that conversation about the other coach he said on the Pat McAfee show, and it turned into, hey, you still want to coach? Still got that itch? And here we are now. I mean, I'm ecstatic for Chuck Pagano. I'm ecstatic he's back. The Chris Hewitt thing, I think, yes and no. Am I surprised about it? I would say yes and no. Obviously, the defense struggled pretty mightily pass defense-wise the first part of the season. We all know that. And they ended up getting it together. It was more of a personnel issue. But it felt like when Chuck Pagano got that job, and, you know, it's senior secondary coach and whatnot, the Ravens will create positions for guys to come in. I don't know what the dynamic would have been between him and Chris Hewitt. I feel like John Harbaugh wanted him to have a pretty decent influence over the on the secondary. And Chris Hewitt, look, he was with the team since 2012. He worked his way up and, you know, has been a part of a lot of really good Ravens defenses. And I think, to me, the way that Pagano can come in, I think, have an influence on some of the younger guys here, influence some of his schemes. That 2011 defense Pagano had when he was the defensive coordinator, I wish that had lasted longer. Obviously, the Colts ended up getting him as their head coach. But that defense was top three in scoring and yards. You know, I think they were top five rushing, top five passing. It was a great unit. And so him coming back, I think, will have a lot of great influence. And the big thing with the coaching staff this offseason, guys, is the fact that they don't have to rebuild as much as they did last offseason. You know, we were sitting here talking about how they were losing assistant coach after assistant coach. This guy's a head coach. This guy's a defensive coordinator. They can build on their staff and kind of make decisions on their own instead of having the league dictate that for them, where they moved on from Mark DeLeon as the inside linebacker coach. And they're apparently moving on from Doug Mallory, according to Jess Rebick. So it's different this offseason. It feels like instead of having to rebuild their losses that they didn't have any say in, now they have an opportunity to build on the guys they already have. And obviously that includes Tom Monken getting that extension too.
Hey, Keith, what do you know about Tyler Santucci, and have you heard anything about Keith Williams coming back with the wide receiver and tight ends and, you know, all the things he did with the pass game?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about Keith Williams, but in terms of Tyler Santucci, someone that is a younger coordinator, obviously Georgia Tech guy, has worked at a couple of different stops along the college ranks, and someone that turned that Georgia Tech defense around, you know, moved him up a bunch of spots. And I'm not saying it's Mike McDonald all over again, because obviously it's a much different, well, I shouldn't say much, but it's a very different situation there. But I think he's kind of the profile that the Ravens like. Now, Mark DeLeon, who was their inside linebacker coach last year, he had the connection with Roquan. Both of them worked together in Chicago. But, you know, we look at that position, and Roquan, I thought, had a down year from Roquan Smith's standards. Mm-hmm. Trent Simpson obviously didn't take another step forward, which the Ravens had hoped. And obviously, you know, by the end of the season, he wasn't playing much at all. And they moved and pivoted to Malik Harrison and Chris Board, who I thought filled in decently well in those spots. But you would have hoped that you saw a bit more development. So I think Tyler Santucci can come in and have an impact. He's a guy, I think he's a fiery guy. And at every stop he's been at, there's been proof of him being able to turn a unit around. And I think he runs very unique systems. I think that's the word. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And, you know, Mark DeLeon is an example of this, but for the most part, inside linebacker coaches in Baltimore, you want to be the defensive coordinator of the Ravens, you just get that inside linebacker job, and you have it based off of Zach Ward, Mike McDonald, Don Martindale, Dean Pease. We can go back and back and back. So maybe a good omen if Zach Ward gets a head coaching job, whether that's with the Ravens down the line or with another organization. Maybe Tyler Santucci is going to be the next Ravens defensive coordinator. Who knows?
Kevin, going into the offseason, what are the needs that they need to get after this offseason?
I'd say definitely offensive line is where I'm looking at for sure. I think a game wrecker at edge would be nice. You know, Myles Garrett apparently available, and if Cleveland does trade him, I think it's going to be it's a different tax in terms of package the Ravens have to give up, because they're in the division. If they traded him to the Commanders, I don't think it'd be as high of a package. But those two for me, for sure, I think definitely in the secondary, they're going to need a safety or two. They're going to need a corner as well, especially if Brandon Stevens doesn't come back. Wide receiver as well. They have Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman, but obviously I think they need a couple other options, and I think they could bring back a guy like Tylan Wallace and draft somebody, and then also have you know, whether that is a Cooper Kupp via trade, although that contract is kind of making that tough. But is that Keenan Allen? Is that somebody else? That could be a need as well. Other than that, I think they're pretty set. I guess we could maybe another inside linebacker. They would just want to have someone compete with Trenton Simpson and maybe have another option next to Roquan Smith. Backup quarterback could potentially be another one as well, with Josh Johnson being a free agent, but maybe they want to bring Josh Johnson back. So I think offensive line is definitely the big one, with Ronnie Stanley, Patrick McCary being free agents. Do they want to move forward with Daniel Falele? Do they want to move Roger Rosengarten to the left side? There are a lot of questions there. We always knew it was going to be a multi-year rebuild for the Ravens on that line. Obviously, year one went, I think, better than anticipated, but they have to definitely keep plugging away at it, because there are some guys who might not be back next year.
Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens Wire, Super Bowl 59 coming up Sunday. You can hear the game, of course, here on 105.7 The Fan. Kevin, the Ravens lost to the Chiefs opening week. They lost to Philly right before the bye. Who do you got? Kansas City. That 1.5-point line's been holding steady. And as we talked about yesterday, I mean, my interest level, well, it's football, so you're interested, but it's not anticipated. You're like, hey, they're fighting on this day, and I can't wait for that game. It's just like, hey, let's get it here and see how much money I can win. So what are you thinking in regards to the outcome of the game and legacies and all the other storylines part of it so far?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, if Mahomes and the Chiefs can win three in a row, that cements all sorts of different legacies for him, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce. Philly, I think, has the more complete roster, though. Not that Kansas City doesn't have a talented one, but I think it's just going to come down to how Jalen Hurts can play and the offensive line play, which, you know, we've talked about a ton with the Ravens and other teams this year when the Ravens have faced them. So I think the way that Philly has come out and dominated teams, you know, Kansas City, these games come down to the wire, but they know, and look, good teams find ways to win those close games. So if I had to pick one, I think I'm going to go with the team that I think has a better roster. So I'm going to go Philadelphia. I think Jalen Hurts takes down the Chiefs. I think that they prevent that three-peat, and we're going to have to wait maybe forever to see a team win three more.
Kevin Allstriker, USA Today. Kevin, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely, guys. Always appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin Allstriker, everyone. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. Whip around, coming back. Hey, Danny Coulomb has found a home since it is Turn Up Tuesday. Borrow a little Motley Crue. Home sweet home.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
88-80-105.7 The Fan. It's the Whip Around. Here on this Turn It Up Tuesday, we'll talk Orioles with Rich Dubroff at 12:30. But Danny Coulomb was dismissed by the Orioles, going back to Minnesota, who the Orioles got him from a couple of years ago, and he became one of their best relief pitchers for a couple of playoff teams. But Danny Coulomb moving back to Minnesota with the Twinkies there, who are trying to get in there with Kansas City and Cleveland and Detroit, and which should be a pretty competitive American League Central. So follow that along as the offseason continues. Now it's about to become the season. Spring training starting next week, so stay tuned for all of that. College basketball, one top 25 game, men. It was Kansas, number 16, blowing out Iowa State, 69-52. The Cyclones, your Cyclones, Vinny.
They've gotten blown out two times in a row.
They're getting caught in the Cyclone here. In Kansas, they've been a little bit shaky here, but Iowa State looked like one of the best teams in the country for the first month or so, 2 months of the year. Now hitting these, and it does happen. These February doldrums have crept in and gotten you. And right now, it's gotten the Cyclones a little bit here.
Yeah. K-State, they got blown out at home. And then they lost to Kansas last night. Yeah, they're not on a good trend right now, Bob.
Locally in college basketball, men, Delaware State. Morgan wins 84-82. So the Bears getting themselves one. And then Coppin beat UMES 62. Oh, it was Delaware State. My bad. 84-82 over Morgan Coppin. 62-57 over UMES. Terps, they're back on the hardwood Thursday night. Number 18 in the country now, taking on Ohio State. And we'll talk about that tomorrow with Kevin Willard, head coach of the University of Maryland men's basketball program. Ohio State, by the way, 13-9, 5-6 in the league. Remember, Maryland blew them out a couple months ago, 2 months ago today, down at the Xfinity Center. Ohio State shoots threes. A couple of their studs do, anyway. Really, really well in the NBA last night. Let's see. Wizards. Break up the Wizards. They won two in a row, 124-114 over Charlotte. Charlotte decimated by injuries, but that's their problem. Koulibaly at 26. Baltimore's own Bob Carrington, 4 points aboard and an assist off the bench. And the most exciting game, I guess, of the night. One of them, anyway. New York, the Knicks beat Houston, 124-118. How about Jalen Brunson, 42 points, 6 boards, 10 assists. And I saw the post on social media. Like 4 years ago, they had Brunson, Luka, and Kristaps Porzingis. Dallas did. Whew. Now they don't. Cam Whitmore, Baltimore zone for the Rockets. Spalding, Villanova, 18 points, 5 boards and assists. He's a stud. Sacramento, minus Kevin Herter. They beat Minnesota, though. 116-114. DeMar DeRozan at 33. Alex Land all by himself. DNP, coach's decision. Old T-Wolves been one of the more disappointing teams this year. Yeah. I mean, they got the Ant-Man, who's a stud, but it is what it is. But Sacramento, I mean, we'll see what old Zach LaVine brings to the equation here. And you got Oklahoma City, 125-96 over the injury. No Giannis, no Lillard, no Lopez, no Portis. I mean, their starting five didn't play. and Oklahoma City handled them accordingly, 125-96. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 34. Aaron Wiggins, University of Maryland, 13-1-4. By the way, be remiss to not bring this up. 2 games ago against the Kings, Aaron Wiggins had 41 points and 14 rebounds. Bring it on, Terp. Coached by former Terp legend Keith Gatlin. Matter of fact, Memphis beat San Antonio. Jared Jackson Jr. at 31, 128-109. Santi Aldama of the Loyola Greyhounds, 6-6 there for the Grizz. Portland beat Phoenix, 121-119. Hey, DeAndre Ayton put it on his former team, 25 points, 20 boards. Damian Lee, Calvert Hall, DNP. Coach's decision. Let's see here. NHL tonight, Capitals hosting the Panthers. Two first-place teams on the ice down in D.C. Caps, they've lost 3 of 4, but a couple of those overtime losses.
Well, the thing about it is, they're back-to-back playing against first. Winnipeg was tied with them with the best record in hockey. Now Florida is in first place in their division. So, yeah, Caps are on a tough schedule. Now, Florida was at the White House yesterday with Trump. And so they're a big physical team. So it's going to be a tough game. I mean, the Caps have had some time off, which is a good thing. But let me just say, our prayers are with Craig Laughlin. He's having open heart surgery as we speak today.
Locker.
So Locker, who we've had on the show, and he's their color guy. So
Cap player.
Yep. So good luck to you. I know you're going to do great, Locker.
So there you go. Shout out to Craig Laughlin getting his thing done. It's the whip around on this February 4th, Biddy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. This day in sports history, how about Maryland hoops for you? 1975, 50 years ago. This is the first Maryland team I actually watched, so it's unbelievable, but it is what it is. Cole Fieldhouse, fourth-ranked Maryland, beat Virginia, 86-79. John Lucas had 25. Brad Davis, 24. Tom Roy pulled in 11 boards for the Turtles there. A year later to the day, this time in Virginia. Fifth-ranked Maryland, 69-66 over the Cavs. John Lucas, 19. Mo Howard, 18. Brad Davis had 17. Steve Shepard, 13-7. That's four NBA players right there, ladies and gentlemen. 2015 Nolan. Remember this one? 10 years ago. This is in your warehouse. Turgeon's first good team. 17th-ranked Maryland at the Xfinity Center beat Penn State 64-58. Des Wells had 23. Jonathan Graham, Ernie Sun had 16-6. Jake Lehman, 10-9. That's unbelievable. That's Mello's freshman year. 10 years ago. The bleep out of here with all this. All right, Super Bowls 2007 in Miami. Super Bowl 41 in the rain. The Colts beat the Bears. Lovie Smith, Tony Dungy, African-American head coaches going at it for the first time in the big game. Peyton Manning was MVP. This game sucked, let's be honest. Wasn't all that great. Devin Hester returned the opening kick for a touchdown. Colts were 7-point favorites. Remember, beat the Ravens in the playoffs on their way to that title. Jim Nance, Phil Simms on the call. National anthem, singing a song, Billy Joel. About halftime, one of the top five of all time, Prince. 93.2 million. 30-second commercial, how about $2.6 million?
Now it's $8.
Hold on. That was 18 years ago. And then how about, let's see, my man says that. 7 years ago, Super Bowl 52 in Minnesota. The Eagles upset the Patriots. And let's just say it's not a cheesesteak, it's not a sixer, it's the Philly special.
And they're going to snap. You figure.
Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth on the call, NBC, as Trey Burton throws the touchdown pass to Nick Foles, who would be the MVP of said Super Bowl. Patriots were 5.5-point favorites in that one. And that was in the day, if the Patriots lost, we had a happy Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes, we did.
National anthem, Pink.
Okay.
And I got to apologize for this because I don't even remember. Halftime, Metallica.
Really?
I have zero recollection of that, Nolan McGraw. I know you're a big Sad But True fan, but again, halftime, I'm making sandwiches, usually doing, stuff.
You gave me 100 guesses. That would not have been one of my guesses.
When I did the research today, I was like, damn, I don't remember that. Anyway, 107.4 million, 103.4, sorry, did the U.S. millions. And then the 32nd spot, 5 million. So 8 years later, it only goes up.
The price
of partying only goes up to 8 mil. That's your day in sports history. We'll come back. Vinny's going to start breaking out of the Kansas City Chiefs. Stay tuned for that. We'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Miles Garrett wants out. So does Cooper Kupp. Well, Cooper Kupp's been told to leave. Which one would be more likely to show up in Baltimore? Earlier in the hour, Cooper Kupp getting traded. Miles Garrett wants out. Get out to the phones because Rob in Edgewater wants to talk about that. Rob, thanks for holding. How you feeling today?
Oh, I'm feeling good, Bob. Hey, real quick, a couple of weeks ago, you cut me short on what I was trying to get across. Like we should trade. We were talking about Mark Andrews. Let's trade him, and I was like, let's trade him for a pass rusher. And Vinny, you know, you guys are like, yeah, whatever. And Vinny says, well, we got two double digits. We got Owe and we got Kyle Van Noy. That's great. But what I wanted to tell you guys statistically, and Bob, we love statistics, right? In Major League Baseball, of course, the average NFL pressure rate, the time to pressure is 2.5 seconds. The Ravens is 3.2. Mm-hmm. So as much as all those sacks look good for those guys, it's good. But if you get a Myles Garrett, now, Vinny, hear me out on this.
Yep.
If you got a Myles Garrett, that makes the defense so much exponentially improved. Because Garrett's getting after it probably in 2 seconds or 1.5 seconds. The guy's a wrecker. We know that. Even if he doesn't get a sack, he's disruptive as hell. Vinny, here's my idea. Tell me if you like this. Cleveland ain't going to trade with us, right? No way. No. Never. Not going to do business in AFC, right? So get this. You take Andrews, and I'm just going to say Tampa Bay, for example. You do a three-way trade. You take Andrews. You tell Tampa Bay, we're going to give you Andrews, but don't say anything. You guys make the trade with Cleveland. Give them what they want. We're going to give you Andrews and a second, a third rounder, because we got, 12 picks. I mean, if we can't pull that off and fulfill Tampa Bay's demands, whatever they are, and then let Tampa Bay give Cleveland whatever it is they're looking for and keep it silent, because I haven't heard three-way trades in NFL in a while or in Major League Baseball for some time. And, Vinny, is that doable? Can you do a three-way trade without Cleveland knowing that we're kind of working behind the scenes with another team to tell them we're going to give you Andrews if you go and give Cleveland what they want? So that's all I wanted to make the point, gentlemen. So
I would go back to this. Yeah. If you read the article about the Lakers and Dallas, there was two guys involved in that. And they were good friends, and they vacationed together and everything else. And that's why they dealt with each other, because they didn't even let the third team know, which was Danny Ainge in Utah, until an hour before the final trade, so he couldn't screw it up. So, no. And I told Bob this. I mean, if you're Cleveland and you want to deal with the Ravens, you know, like you said, Bob, the 27th pick means nothing, which it doesn't. That's not good.
In a Myles Garrett scenario.
Right, for Myles Garrett. All right, you'd have to give, if I'm Cleveland, I'm asking for, I want your 27th pick, I want Kyle Hamilton, and I want Zay Flowers. Then we can talk.
Whew. And if I'm Bob Haney or DaCosta, I'm saying no.
Right.
We just won the division 2 years in a row without this guy. But as Bob brought up, the win rate, we talked about it off the air. The sack accumulation numbers were impressive. And no, I didn't think they'd finish second in sacks, but they were in the 20s in win rate in regards to pressures. And Myles Garrett, certainly helps that cause. But, man, Hamilton, Zay Flowers, and number 27. I mean, you have two receivers as it is. We're talking about adding to what you already got. And Kyle Hamilton's probably a future defensive player of the year level.
No doubt.
Well, I would say hell no.
Yeah, I mean, that one.
And why would Tampa, because Andrews played with Baker in college, I get that, but Kate Otten's not a slouch.
Yeah, I mean, because you get Myles Garrett, why wouldn't they want to keep him, you know? I mean,
sure.
But, all right, let's just say that. Then Tampa's not going to give you Myles Garrett for nothing, you know, for Mark Andrews? Are you kidding me? To give no, because Tampa would have to give up a ton to Cleveland to get Garrett, yeah. And then all you're giving back is no. Whatever, you know, I mean, if I'm Tampa, then I'm asking for a similar type package.
I hear you working, but again, this salary cap's always a big-time reality in regards to trades in the NFL. We'll come back, start breaking down the Chiefs. Then we got news from the Nest. Buy or sell 12-15. Talk Orioles 8 days away for pitchers and catchers with Rich Dubraw, BaltimoreBaseball.com. I think it's a good team. Nolan thinks it's a good team. Vinny, what do you think?
I like the team.
And
if things stay healthy.
Bordy thinks it's a good team, but usually when Mike Elias addresses the media, as soon as they get to Sarasota, somebody's on the disabled list.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Good evening, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Super Bowl 59 coming up Sunday in New Orleans, 6:30 kickoff. You can hear it on 105.7 The Fan. Bob Eddie, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Michael's on the other side of the glass. We'll meet him at some point during the week, if not today, time permitting. Let's start breaking it down. The Kansas City Chiefs, just a little train that could keep winning more often than not in a big way. 15-2 regular season. Obviously undefeated in the playoffs. Why? Why is this happening, Vinny Serrato?
Yeah, let's look at. Well, let's start with the offensive line. Now, Joe Tooney is now the left tackle. He's number 62. He was their left guard, and he was one of their strengths of the team at left guard. And they moved him to left tackle because it was a revolving door, and it was bad. It was bad out there. So he's given him a little consistency at the left tackle spot. Is he ideal for that spot? No. Can he be beat outside with some speed? You know, the thing is, Brandon Graham supposedly is going to play this Sunday, too, for the Eagles. So that could help them. Now, Bob, their left guard, this Mike Caliendo, he stinks. He's terrible.
Okay.
At the left guard. Number 66. He was on his back a lot against Buffalo Bills. And Creed Humphrey, their center, I mean, he's like perennial pro. He is not as good as Lindebaum. He plays high. I don't, you know, he's perennial Pro Bowl guy, but I think a lot of that is just because, you know, he's been it before.
Yeah, he gets a little more street cred than Lindebaum.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, and they're both short guys, but Lindebaum plays a lot lower and stuff. Maybe it's because of the wrestling from Lindebaum. Now, Trey Smith, the right tackle, or the right guard, he's okay. Jawan Taylor, the right tackle, extremely average. Extremely average. Now, their whole offensive line, they don't knock people off the ball. They do not knock people off the ball. That's why they don't run the ball very well. I mean, their rushing offense, Bob, for the season, they were 22nd, averaging 105. In the playoffs, they're averaging 92 yards rushing in the playoffs versus Houston and versus Buffalo. And we've said Buffalo's old D-line was not that. They're smaller guys. So the offensive line, they're better in pass pro, but they're not great in pass pro, especially Jawan Taylor is not a great pass protector. You can bull rush him. And then the inside guys, Caliendo, I mean, Bob, I mean, Philly's got two hogs in there that can rush the passer. You know, Creed Humphrey's a little guy. Lindenbaum's a little guy, and he struggled with the Philly big dudes because Jalen Carter, and we'll talk Philly tomorrow, but, I mean, Jalen Carter's as good as it gets, and Jordan Davis is a big man, too. So that's going to be – it's going to be tough for – the Philly or for Kansas City's offensive line. I think they're going to have a hard time running it. But when you look at them rushing the ball, Kareem Hunt, he's their guy. In the playoffs, he's carried it 25 times for 108 yards, averaging 4.3 with two touchdowns. Pacheco's carried it 10 times for 30 yards. Pacheco doesn't look like he's back to being Pacheco, you know, after his injury. So I've been kind of disappointed in Pacheco. Hunt will be a north-south and try to move the pile. But what's going to be interesting is they're not going to be able to knock Philly off the ball. And Philly's got a Pro Bowl linebacker in Vaughn. So I think the run game is going to be difficult. Now, Mahomes changes, man, in the playoffs. That dude, like in the playoffs, Average per completion is 8.3 in the playoffs. During the season, he's 6.8. Cranks it up. He's got 2 touchdowns, no picks in the playoffs. And completing 67%, pretty much same as during the season. And he's been sacked 5 times in 2 games. Now, the thing that he's done differently, and his quarterback rating's 93.5. Bob, in the playoffs, 105.2. That's now, the other thing that he's done differently, during the season, he rushed it 58 times for 307 yards and 2 touchdowns. In the 2 playoff games, he's got 18 carries for 57 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he's got 2 touchdowns rushing, and that's as many as he had all season long in 17 games. So he's running the ball a lot more in the playoffs. So I expect Mahomes to be Mahomes. Mahomes is going to be good. And the ball, guess what it's going to be doing? Coming out quick, because they're not going to be able to protect. That's going to be the big thing there. Now, receiver-wise, Travis Kelce, Bob, during the season, average per catch, 8.5. Playoffs, 15.1. So, I mean, a different dude in the playoffs. During the season, he had 9 plays over 20 yards. He's got 2. 2. And he's got 66 yak yards in 2 games. Now, he's only really thrown it to 2 guys. Xavier Worthy's the other one. Kelsey's got 9 for 136. Xavier Worthy has 11 catches for 131 yards, averaging 11.8. Averaged 10.8 during the season. During the season, Bob, Xavier Worthy had 4 plays over 20 yards. In the 2 playoff games, 3. And he's got 154 yak yards in the 2 playoff games. So Worthy is the guy. Those are the 2 guys. I mean, they got 20 catches between the two. And then Juju's got 2 for 60. Otherwise, nobody else is catching squat. So, I mean, and he's going to throw it. And Kelce cranks it up. He can trust Kelce in the playoffs. But Kelce, he's going to have a hard time getting open in man coverage, because what he's going to do, he beats you with his brain. He knows how to get open. He knows the holes and zones. He knows how to push off. He doesn't run very, I mean, like, he looks like kind of gawky running. He's not going to be able to separate very well in man coverage unless he pushes off. And I think Xavier Worthy, to me, is their most explosive wide receiver. He can run routes. He can gain some separation. Totally disappointed in Hollywood Brown. Hollywood, you know, like, he had a chance to make a play where, like, Zay Flowers would have made the guy miss, made some extra yards. Nah, he just runs out of bounds, and he has a hard time getting off of press coverage. He's just kind of average at best. Hopkins, I haven't really seen. Hopkins, you know, he has his moments
every now and again.
Yeah. They're going to have a hard, because Philly's got a good secondary. They're going to have a hard time getting open. You know, Juju, well, he's kind of like Kelce. He'll find some holes in the middle of the field. And Noah Gray, number 83, the other tight end, he runs. He'll be in there a lot. Now, he runs a lot faster than Kelce, and they use him to get down the middle of the field some. So, offensively, the ball's going to come out really quick, because he's not going to have time to sit back there and throw the football. So they're going to have a lot of yak yards. Worthy's got to play for them. Kelce is going to get a ton of targets, because, you know, and Cooper DeJean, is that who's going to be covering him? You know, we'll see. They're Nickelback, the rookie, and rookie on Kelce. They'll probably double him. Buffalo doubled him most of the time, and I kind of can see that. I just don't know how Kansas City's going to run the ball. And if they're not running it, and Mahomes has got to throw it 40-some times, you know, they got to throw quick screen. Like Buffalo. Bob, in that game, you know how many quick screens? I mean, Buffalo threw quick screens a ton. And you know what? The quarterback is going to run. Mahomes is going to probably run it 10 times or more in this game.
Real quick, here, Patrick Mahomes' playoff stats. Not all of them, but give you the ones that matter, the meaty ones. 17-3 in the playoffs, and we're not saying this means jack squat coming into Sunday's game against the Eagles. Kickoff is 6:30, 43 touchdowns, eight picks, quarterback rating of 105.8. But to your point,
He used to break out that howitzer, man. He needed that big play to Tyreek Hill. He'd throw it 65, 70 yards on the fly. We don't really see that much.
Buffalo game, Bob. Did you see a deep ball?
No.
Right. Now, Bob, on that, does it have his rushing stats in the playoffs? Because this year he's running the heck out of the ball. He's running it a lot. 18 times in two games.
Yeah,
that's a lot of rushing for him. And I think he may have up to, in the three playoff games, he may have 30 rushes in the three playoff games.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll talk about that Kansas City defense, which might be the key to victory. Later on in the show, we'll get to your phone calls. As a matter of fact, you're on the phones. You want to join us? News from the Nest style. We'll get you when we come back. Buy or sell. Where's the Turn It Up Tuesday money? Hopefully. Count it at 12:15. Rich Dubroff from BaltimoreBaseball.com. We're 8 days away for pitchers and catchers. How's this roster situated? Do we have something, Mike Elias anyway, something up his sleeve before we get to opening day?
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.